Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 198, episode 2 of Dirt Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Tuesday, August 17th, 2021. My name is Jack O'Brien, aka It's the Trend of the World as We Know It, and I feel fucked. That is courtesy of Nicholas Spear. And I am thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Hold on, he's got to go in the upper register really quick.
Vaccine up! Vax that fool! Vaccine up! Inoculate that fool! Jab him, jab him, jab him! Stick him, stick him, stick him! Vax one, vax one, vax one!
Vax him! Anyway,
woo.
MOP, vax it up. Shout out to them. The Mata Bussy.
That was dope.
I was trying to get it right. I didn't realize to really get there, it's a whole register.
Yeah,
that
I didn't
struggling
even
with.
Think of that as being an upper register.
But yeah.
I need to re-listen.
Thank you. But anyway, shout out to me right now for just trying to come up with just, you know, odds hip hop vaccine style AKAs. That's what we're doing.
Well, Miles, before we get to our wonderful guest today, we gotta let him know that on August 25th, a single week from today, one American week from today, we are doing a live show, 6 p.m. PST, 9 p.m. on the EST, and we are bringing you the year 2000 in a live streaming, audio, visual, interactive. We're going to be taking your questions, checking out your comments, extravaganza. Mm-hmm.
With special guest Chris Crofton.
What?
The cold brew powered one with a dodgy memory. So we will see what he remembers from the year 2000. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be hilarious. Go to momenthouse.com/thedailyzeitgeist to get your tickets. It's $10. Also, you can get a limited edition poster. You know, help us out. Grab a poster. Mm-hmm. And look, if you forget how to remember a URL, just check the footnotes. It'll be right there. Any of our social media handles will have the promo stuff right there.
Right there in the description of this very episode.
Boom.
Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the comedian, writer, pop culture critic, whose newsletter was named one of the best 2020 newsletters to subscribe to that will keep you informed and entertained by Mary Claire. She's the host of the TV I Say podcast, the creator of the Badass Black Women's History Month Project, and her writing has appeared in little places like the AV Club, The Guardian, Elle, Variety, Vice, Jezebel, Vulture, to name a few. Please welcome the brilliant, the hilarious, the talented Ashley Ray!
Oh my God! Hello!
Welcome.
I'm so glad to be here. Wow.
We're so glad to have you. It's always... I'm like, man, we got to have Ashley on. Also, we got to talk 90 Day at some point, too, because that's that's one of our great overlapping interests on top of weed also. So
yeah, weed, 90 Day. I mean, and I mean that tell-all last night on Sunday.
I only caught the beginning parts. I got to watch the rest after, but I'm,
Yeah. It's Where are we in the world of, first of all, how many seasons in?
Which spinoff? I mean, currently we're finishing 90 Day Fiancé Happily Ever After season 6, and then 90 Day Fiancé The Other Way season 3 comes back next week.
Yeah.
And then that's when Americans go abroad and
fall in love with people in other countries.
And then there's Love in Paradise. I'm about to start watching that one. Love which everyone Paradise, just says like sex tourism, basically.
So 90 Day Love in Paradise. You know, every season they have the clear, like, sex tourism couple, like the old lady who's just going down to clearly get dick. And I am impressed because Love in the Caribbean is not like that. Like, it's legitimately people who are like, I was in Jamaica for 2 weeks and it was the most beautiful time of my life. And so I was just having all the raw sex in the world and I got pregnant. And now I'm trying to convince this man to move to America because I'm having a baby.
There you go.
Oh, I'm ready. Okay.
I actually think it's incredible. And it reminds me of the early days of 90 Day Fiancé. Like, it's just people who you wish they could get it together, but they can't get out of their own way.
Right. Versus now we just have like demented abusers and things like that.
People who clearly hate each other. And you're just like, please stop like encouraging Angela to do this to this man.
Yeah. Or herself. Sorry.
They're not bringing the couples together. The couples are together in the first place. Okay, got it.
These are people who'd be making these mistakes
without a camera.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the added benefit of it all being documented.
Exactly. Wow.
And we can feel better by comparison about our terrible life decisions. That's the whole point of these shows.
All right, Ashley, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we are going to tell the listeners just a few of the things we're talking about. The Texas Supreme Court has sided with Governor Abbott about whether or not you can mandate masks. I'll give you one guess as to which side they're on.
And which way did the all GOP state Supreme Court go? I wonder.
Yeah, but fortunately, some of the county officials are just ignoring the shit out of them. But we'll talk about that. We'll talk about how to embrace fake meat. We will talk about the new grift, which is musicals. James O'Keefe starring in a musical, which we've all been waiting for his musical theater debut after Prince lip-syncing video. We'll talk about just the horrifying scenes coming out of Afghanistan. And then we'll talk about Taco Bell if we have a little extra
We'll have time to talk
about Taco Bell. We got to get to Taco Bell they're introducing like futuristic drive-thrus that look like Daft Punk designed a car wash. It's like 4-lane drive-throughs that are all angular and like
they're fishing, bro. They're fishing. Yeah, you know what I mean? We're going vertical.
All of that, plenty more. But first, Ashley, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Oh, something from my search history. I was looking and literally my search history for the past like 3 days is all just the names of bars from Bar Rescue. Because I've been obsessed with like this bar rescue marathon, and then I just spend the entire day just going, I wonder if that one still exists. And then I'm just Googling like Fifth and Vine, The Roost, like all these ridiculous names he comes up with for these like companies. One was like the Copper Rocket. He changed like a thriving bar into the Copper Rocket. It didn't survive.
Ugh. Wow.
Yeah.
Did you? So I'm guessing you also you watch Bar Rescue too?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Myself, I mentioned this because did you see that clip of him on Laura Ingraham?
I did, where he's like, workers are like dogs and you need to starve them.
Hungry dog's obedient. You're like,
yeah. And it's like, oh no, but I like, if you watch Bar Rescue, it's like, yeah, he could have said worse. Like, if you watch Bar Rescue, he will be like, say you're a dumb idiot sandwich in front of your grandmother. Like, tell your father you're a failure.
You're a failure. Tell him now.
Yeah, tell him. Tell him now. So, wow. Like, honestly, for John Taffer, like, that was him trying to probably make a compliment, like, for his scale of, like, what is okay to say.
Have you seen any bars that you know on Bar Rescue? Because there's one in the Valley that I grew up, like, never going to, because it was, like, the old washed, like, elderly bar that were just like, fuck, we're not going in there. That it was like, then it was on, and I was like, that's what it looks like inside. But it's always a startling thing when you see a local bar in there.
Yeah, they did one in Chicago, and like, I mean, River North, which is literally just where tourists hang out. Mm-hmm. And they were like, we're gonna turn this into the local and make it like a bar where local Chicago people want to go. And I lived in Chicago for 7 years. No one goes to that place. Like, it is just full of tourists who are like, oh my God, I want to go to the bar from the Bar Rescue episode.
Right.
Yeah.
Wait, which one was it before it became the local? What was the vibe in that place? Was it the one where they had all the like art, the musicians and shit in there?
Yeah, like it was something like Beats and Notes or something like that, like some jazzy name, and they had musicians, and he was just like, this is disgusting. Music doesn't make money.
Like, and that, like the owners were like, had like this like artistic disposition. With like, we wanted a place where people could do art. They're like, but you're broke. You
idiot. And he's like, what's more important, sending your daughter to college or putting art on your walls? And it's like, that's how John Taffer sees the world. It's that's
amazing.
It.
Sure. Yeah. It's like that Quincy Jones quote that God leaves the room when like the question of commercialism enters the conversation.
Right. Yeah.
It's he is the opposite. So just God leaves the room every time he walks
into a room. Never known God. It's amazing the things he'll do to just be like, I don't give a shit about the culture of this bar, what you want. There was one, it's like a pirate, like he came into a pirate bar that was run by literal like pirate hippies who were like, we love dressing up as pirates in our free time. Like, this was clearly their passion project. Yeah. And he came in and renamed the bar The Corporate. Like, just shitting in their faces. Just named it The Corporate, made a giant logo of a man in a suit, and was like, we want business people to know this place is about the business.
Right.
And literally, like, the pirate waiters just, like, couldn't get it together. They're just like, m'lady, what would you like for dinner? And he's just like, you need to be normal. And then they all, like, stormed out. She closed it down 3 days later.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, that was in Maryland, I believe. Yeah, I remember that very vividly because I knew people from Silver Spring, and I'll be like, yo, do you know this bar? Do you know this bar? You heard of it?
See?
And, like, that episode came out 9 years ago. Right. Okay. Yeah. Sure.
I mean, there's like I said, I Google every bar, and there's like dedicated websites to like Bar Rescue updates where they tell you everything that happens.
The Corporate and Copper Rocket. I feel like I don't watch the show, but it sounds like he's 0-for-2. And it sounds like he also prides himself on like being sweet at naming bars.
Oh, yeah. Like, he's like, I know exactly what this market needs.
Rocket sounds like a steampunk like sex toy.
Right. Yeah.
I thought of something like a mechanical dog penis is like.
Right. Like, bring out the Copper Rocket. You're like, oh, no.
And then sometimes he'll like change the name of the bar, but he like won't get them a new liquor license under the new name, and then they like have to close down and they get screwed over like three of the bars.
Wow.
They were like, yeah, he just like changed our name and got us a new sign, and all of it was illegal,
right? Because we can't do business as this thing because you don't have a license for it. Wow. Okay.
So
little like Oprah kind of thing where people got the car and then they didn't realize they had to pay the taxes.
Yeah, they had to pay the taxes.
So there was just I wonder if he was on Laura Ingraham to like raise awareness of the Bar Rescue Marathon. Like, if that's why he was there in the
honestly,
first place.
Probably because that is all they show on Paramount, like the channel. Like, there's a whole TV channel that just plays Bar Rescue all day.
There you go.
Yeah, he went on to Laura, the Ingraham angle to drag wage workers and then also. And also just give some press, a little bump to his
bump
TV
to,
marathon.
Yeah, to just John Taffer's most embarrassing manager moments.
What is something you think is overrated, Ashley?
Overrated. You know, I'm going to have to go right now. Everybody's talking about it. I'm going to have to go with the White Lotus.
Wow.
I'm not going to spoil anything, but I'm
three episodes in. I'm going to keep watching, but
yeah.
And here's the thing.
I think the tone of the internet seemed to be like that. I think it's an incredible show and it's a good show, but apparently people were watching this thing thinking it was going to like give us the key to like saving native lands in Hawaii and like teach us how to end racism.
Oh no.
That was apparently what people thought this show was going to, you know, they had high expectations. And in that regard, I think maybe it was a bit overrated.
I'm watching these first episodes going like, look at these fucked up people.
Right. It's just supposed to be like, let's enjoy the pathology of these like crazy white people and right. like just the crazy things that rich white people do. And instead people are like, wait a second. I thought
What's
Mike White
telling us?
Like save us. Like, what is this message?
And it's okay.
Yeah, no, it's crazy white people, right?
give yourself the right reasons to watch it. I think we will be recommending that for our streaming corner this week because, yeah, we've all been watching it and being like, this shit is more than anything, like outside of the show, I'm just so, I love Jennifer Coolidge. I've loved her since Best in Show that was one of the first things. I was like, I'm Coolidge gang from Best in Show onward. And watching her in this, I'm mostly coming for the Jennifer Coolidge. If I'm going to be real, but I stay for the rest of the mess, but she's been fucking unbelievably good. Yeah, she's such a great performer.
Good in it.
Yeah. People always think she's like that too.
Yeah.
When you're like, no, Jennifer Coolidge is a fucking artist, man. Like
she's one of the best actresses. Like she gets into these characters. People are like, no, she just kind of seems like a bimbo. And it's like, no, that's art.
Watch an interview really quick.
Yeah. Like, come on.
I feel like as somebody who curates opinions of TV shows that I haven't watched, it feels like The White Lotus has followed the same path as The Undoing, that Nicole Kidman, Hugh Grant thing, where it was like everybody was really into it and talking about it. And then everyone was disappointed by the last episode.
It's kind of that same thing where people are like, oh, my God, is this some larger message about the privileges of like white men and blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, no, it's just like a really kind of basic story, like,
right?
Yeah, just, you know, and it's entertaining and enjoyable, but I think you just have to like lower your expectations. And the thing with White Lotus was that so many people were like, I relate to these characters, like, how can they just like be bad people? And that's where it's like, oh no, maybe you should reflect on that.
Yeah, yeah. just telling on themselves.
That wasn't a joke. Okay.
Like, wow. I don't know.
Being sarcastic when you said you related to like the whiny girl who hates her whole life just because her husband's rich. Like, oh, okay.
We've all been there, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, I got to make an open mic.
What's something you think is underrated?
I like hate to go all TV, but I mean, that's what I do. I just only know TV and I have to go underrated. There's this show on TLC called You, Me, and My Ex. And it's crazy. And like everyone has been like, this is bad. Like this is horrible TV. And I'm obsessed with it. It's like actually the finale that I am looking forward to more than The White Lotus. I am just so into this show that is just like people who are in relationships but have very unhealthy connections with their exes. Like their ex will come and like live with them, or like they FaceTime with their ex-boyfriend every day, even though they're now like engaged to a woman. And I feel like people need to give it more credit because it is probably the most interesting human study of the last like 10 years.
Whenever I see promos for it, it felt like it was so aggressively produced because I'm like, how the fuck could you find someone who is like, I'm in a relationship with this guy and we live with his ex.
Yeah.
And you're watching like just how toxic and unhealthy and unsustainable it is. And you're like, these people can't be fucking real. But you're saying you watch it and you're like, oh, my God, they really are this fucking clueless about it.
They do a good job of like finding couples where it's like they have a reason to still be in each other's lives, like they have kids or something. So it's a little like, oh, okay, like this isn't too forced. Like one guy is like, oh, I'm going to be the sperm donor for my ex-wife who's now a lesbian. And it's like, okay, they have like pretty good reasoning for why they want him to be the sperm donor. And they're still like kind of involved. And it's like mostly people who have healthy boundaries. And then there are kind of the couples where it's like, they like two of the couples go on an RV trip together and there's no reason for them to like share an RV. Like, it's just like, you can tell a producer was like, it would be a good idea if you all were just like in the movie together so we could shoot it. And that's when it's a little like, okay, this is like overproduced drama. Like what that part. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
But like, there's good stuff. There's like also the part where there's this guy who like, he met this woman and they went on like two dates and then he got sick with COVID and was in the hospital for like 9 months.
Oh my
ex-wife, God. Like moved back in with him to take care of their like five kids. He gets out of the hospital, moves back home. And the first thing he does, he's like, that girl I went on two dates with, I want to move her into the house because I think I'm in love with her.
Oh, no. Whoa.
And he's like, oh, my daughter shares my bed sometimes, so you can't sleep with me. And he like puts an air mattress in a closet for her. And that, and he like is legitimately like, no, this is like a good idea. Like, why wouldn't you want to sleep in my closet? Like, this is great. Oh my God. And that's like, oh, this is excellent television.
Yeah. Okay. I'm in. Now I'm in. I mean, the close, I feel like, I don't know, in our dating lives, like I've definitely gone out and then someone's like, oh yeah, like I still live with my ex, but it's like all good. Like we're in the process, like they're about to move out or whatever. And I'm like, okay, I could vibe with that. I one time I had a friend who straight up went home with somebody on a date and they're like, okay, when you go and just be quiet because my ex is asleep in the other room. And he's like, wait, what? And then found out like at the threshold what the situation is. And it's like, he's fine. We've been broken up for like a couple months now. But just, he gets really cranky. So like, let's just be really quiet when we walk through. And
it was, he's like, just okay, got a real temper. Yeah. So be quiet. That's
really angry guy. You know? Yeah. And, yeah.
Don't worry. He's like 5'2", though. He's harmless. He's harmless.
Yeah. I feel like I hear about this more than I would expect. Like we just ambiently heard about it through like Wayne Brady, the fact that he lives with his wife and her new
husband.
And they
had that whole TikTok dance to explain it to us too.
Yeah. But like, yeah, I just hear about it all the time in like people's daily lives. Cause I think, you know, rent is hard. Like finding a place is hard. So like there's definitely a lot of overlap there.
Yeah, I get the survival based ones. But like the ones where it's someone who's just like, I just can't quit you.
Made a life decision.
And there's like one couple where the ex-wives became like best friends and they're doing like nude photo shoots together. And the guy is like, why is my new wife like doing a nude bathroom photo shoot with my ex-wife? Like,
right.
You know, but that's how some people heal. That's
Right. Yeah. We all have our own ways of moving on.
Yeah. Well, that sounds incredible. So go check out You, Me, and My Ex, y'all. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, Oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. And we're back, and let's talk about masking laws around the country, specifically Texas, where they are basically run by Republicans, all the big office holders, all the big
any
judges.
Any office worth having.
Yeah, are all Republicans, and despite what, like, present tense science is showing us, they're just like, nah, I can't tell us what to do.
Yeah. The name of personal freedom. And, you know, we talked about how there have been small little acts of rebellion in Florida and Texas where people are like, I don't give a fuck what the governor is saying. Like, this sounds like absolutely asinine and dangerous to be like, dude, you're not going to can't force people to do what's safe for everyone. That's absurd. And now we're seeing a little bit of pushback. So we talked about how two counties basically said, we don't give a fuck. We're going to mandate masks in schools. Fucking come see me then. And apparently the Supreme Court did. Governor Abbott was like, hey, Supreme Court, they're trying to flaunt my anti-mandate. And they essentially blocked this initial mandate from Bexar and Dallas counties. And like, these are some of the biggest school districts in the state that they represent. So, you know, it makes sense why they'd want to keep it safe. So some commentary from officials there, the city attorney in Bexar County, Andy Segovia, said that, quote, he said, first of all, the mandate remains in effect. And, quote, the city of San Antonio and Bexar County's response to the Texas Supreme Court continues to emphasize that the governor cannot use his emergency powers to suspend laws that provide local entities the needed flexibility to act in an emergency. Okay. Wow. That makes sense. And then in Dallas, the superintendent of the Dallas Independent School District said, you know, fuck it. We don't give a fuck what the court said. Like, how can you say we can't do this? This doesn't make sense. Quote, we're going to have the mask mandate tomorrow. We're going to be benevolent. We're going to be nice, but we're going to be firm and we're going to enforce it. So, yeah.
I mean, at a certain point, can they just be like, we're going to do it from home then? Like, if you insist on not letting people wear masks while we're in, like, we'll go back to shitty.
I feel like that's worse than the mask mandate.
Right.
Yeah. And also, for those people. Because Texas is so, like, we refuse to believe this, a lot of school districts aren't even offering at-home options. Like, you have to be in school.
Right. Because
it's all, you know, like, if you think about all the dynamics, right, it's like they want the kids back in school to alleviate the pressure on the adults that are workers. So if they don't have to be at home with their kids, there's less of a crunch for the child care because they're at school again. But then on top of that, if you do the mask, then you're reminding people that the COVID rates are going out of control, which could create another lockdown, which obviously entities like the Chamber of Commerce absolutely hate because they've been like, dude, we have to keep the revenue flowing. So no matter what, everything's just sort of linked to this idea of like never wanting to acknowledge that it's bad enough that something has to be done for the sake of just letting business rip. Or business as usual.
I mean, I get why it's better for the anti-vaxxer parents to like have their kids at school. I'm just wondering, like, if it's not a mandate, can they just be like, well, you're not allowed in our school? Like, what? Just go from home then.
The governor, along with all these other rules, also put in place rules where the school districts can't tell parents if kids test positive for COVID. They can't share the number of students who have tested positive for COVID. So it's like you, as a parent, even if you don't want to send your kid in, you don't really have the information needed to be like, oh, I should keep my kid at home, or like, oh, the numbers are going off the chart because they're just like, nope.
Yeah. Like, right. How'd you get those numbers?
Yeah. Like, the governor says it's a secret. Like, we're not allowed to say.
And yeah, he's got a cool demeanor, though, despite the numbers going up and also finding out that he's been asking for assistance from outside the state because the situation just becomes increasingly dire. It's like so much, you know, so much double speak and just lack of acknowledgement happening that, it's just the chaos still continues.
Yeah, I'm a fifth generation Texan. Like, my whole family is in Dallas. And I feel like, I don't know, it's like the perfect example of just everything Texas is. Like, on the one side, you have these people who are like, we're never going to wear our masks. And then the other side, you have these people who are like, we will do whatever we have to do to wear these masks. Like, we don't care if we have to go to the Supreme Court and fight you. We don't. I know in Houston, they, like, some people, they did a restraining order against the governor.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that they
prevent it,
to prevent him from, like, being able to, like, you know, do anything about people wearing masks. So I just feel like it's just like the two, like, staunchest, like, just the most stubborn sides, like, fighting against each other.
Right, in the stubbornest state.
In the most stubborn state, and everybody's just kind of like, I don't know what to do.
Right.
Right. All right, let's talk some fake meat. we know that...
The Copper Rocket?
The Copper
Rocket. The Copper Rocket.
Fake meat, the Copper Rocket. That's right. We know that, you know, the factory farming in the meat sector is a huge contributor to climate change, and that changing our diets can help slow down the rise of temperatures and just generally. I mean, it's mainly the oil companies that can slow it down, and, you know, massively powerful corporations and governments that can slow it down. But definitely changes to our diets can help our step in the right direction. And yeah, so people are doing a study about just like what happens when you offer, you know, the better fake meat, Impossible and Beyond, in a market.
Because there's a lot of talk about saying, like, well, when the fake meat reaches the same price as regular meat, because right now, like, you know, or Impossible just, like, kind of reduced their prices to sort of encourage more consumption of Impossible meat. But a lot of people, like, you know, speculating around, like, when is there going to be a tipping point where these, like, these alternative meats become, you know, more highly adopted? And again, it's always been about price. They said if it becomes just as cheap as beef, then we'll probably begin to see an uptake in it. And like right now, a lot of people project that alternative meats could be around up to between 11% and 22% of global meat eating. Right now, it's like not even a fraction of a percent. So, you know, what is it? Is it going to be a flip of a light switch type change? Well, it's, you know, it's not so easy. So this student who was working on their PhD project at UCLA sort of used the dining hall at UCLA as her experimental lab, because at the UCLA dining hall, Impossible meat and like regular beef, those items are offered at the exact same price. So there's nothing more expensive to go for the like meat alternative. And so what she saw was when they sort of unrolled or began to premiere these Impossible meat tacos and burritos and salads and things like that, students bought 9% fewer animal-based entrees. But on the other side of it was sales of vegetarian meals declined by 4%. And so this is something a lot of experts have feared, was that essentially that it's sort of reinforcing this idea that we have a meat-centered diet no matter what. We're like, well, if it's not real meat, then it needs to be fake meat because you got to have meat in your diet. Not really people saying, oh, we can also embrace like staple vegetables as well. And there was like this, again, a food eating trend being seen from 1961 to 2013. They looked at when chicken and seafood became more available than other meats, Americans didn't eat less beef or pork per capita. They just ate more meat overall. And that's what's happening around the world. We're like exporting this thing. So it's tricky. That's
I feel like I fall in line with that, where I get Impossible Burgers when I want an Impossible Burger. Like, right. I will just crave that. It's not that I'm like, oh, this is me making a more healthy choice. It's just like sometimes I'm like, no, I want an Impossible Burger, so I'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not helping the world.
Right. Yeah, I'm the same. I love Impossible. That's my favorite of the meat alternatives. But the way we all work as people and just how things are marketed to us, it's clear, especially for Americans, like the idea of meat being a thing you eat to have your complete diet has just been like just rammed into our skulls from birth. And yeah, a lot of the experts is like, it's not just so much as being able to offer cheap alternatives to beef. It's that like we have to de-emphasize it too, like right, culturally in
has
saying
to be a
like
cultural shift.
Yeah, like when you do, you know, your fake food pyramid for kids, like not having to sort of reinforce the idea is like, you got to be eating that beef though, you know what I mean, if you want to grow kids, because it's not exactly getting the same outcomes. And also, like, we have a lot of subsidies. The government, there's a lot of government subsidies that sort of keep this industry operating in the same suboptimal way that it is. So more than that, it's like, we got to kind of legislate this stuff to make it work properly. But
yeah,
you know,
I mean, didn't the food pyramid that we grew up on include 2 to 3 daily servings of meat?
Yeah,
probably. I'm pretty sure. I feel like,
I mean, yeah, it's like you should have meat. The bottom is just all bread stuff. It's like, right, like it's like 12 servings of bread. And then it like makes space at the top for and some sweets, you know?
Yeah.
You
yeah,
can right, have a little candy, which I don't think is like a necessary part of any diet.
Right. You candy? Sparingly.
Yeah, candy.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it's part of like for like more of like a happiness diet, you know, yeah, give yourself right, a little candy. But yeah, I mean, who knows the way that how these sort of FDA charts are like created. I'm surprised it wasn't like, and you got to have 3 Hershey bars every week too to keep your bones strong.
But as a kid, that is how I saw. I'd be like, Mom, look at the top of the pyramid. It has right, little like piece of candy. You got to have dessert. That is like a mandatory part.
It's an impossible amount of food. Speaking of impossible, it's like, all right, 6 to 11 servings of bread, cereal, rice, and pasta. That's so many. What?
11 servings?
11 servings. I would be like, I wouldn't be able to move if I ate 11 servings of. And like the secret here, the reason they're able to get away with this is because like a serving is actually really small. But that's
right.
That's actually,
but you won't know that.
Yeah, you're gonna you be won't like, know
okay,
that.
A slice of bread is 1 serving. So let me eat this half a loaf.
Yeah.
Right. Eat 5 pineapples, 3 heads of cabbage, right, fucking big turkey legs, a cheese wheel, and a little drizzle of maple syrup on it.
Yeah. That's your sweetness right there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like this idea that you can eat your way to healthiness, like by just getting all these different things in. And it's just like, actually, the thing that needs to be emphasized is like eating a little bit less.
Right.
Well, and definitely less
how we
meat,
consume. But yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. It's all a great funnel to just get people to like consume, 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 right, consume.
All right. Well, we're big fans of live musical theater here at Daily Zeitgeist. And we got a new one on it that just popped up on our radar. It's a performance of Oklahoma and it stars James O'Keefe.
Yeah.
One of Miles, you were saying one of your favorite musical theater actors.
One of my favorite conservative grifters, James O'Keefe. I mean, if you remember around the early part of my political career, we hit the scene at the same time around 2009 because he got famous for smearing that group Acorn.
I mean,
with like these really doctored,
killing it. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I mean, he essentially got them to pull like their federal funding and collapsed it until afterwards people in investigation like, this guy edited the fuck out of these videos and completely misrepresented what happened. But he was still like, got him. Yes, that's what you get for helping Obama, was essentially the thrust of his motivation. Then, if you remember, then he went on to bigger things. There's Project Veritas, which is like that same stupid investigative organization, quote unquote, just group of assholes with some fucking Sackler money. Or whatever, whoever the fuck they're getting their money
but one
from.
One of the best like names of an evil org, like Project yeah, Veritas. That's great. That's
yeah, yeah. You gotta love it. And then
naming.
The one of the last ones was when Roy Moore was running for senator in Alabama, and everyone's like, "This guy is a fucking sex criminal," and yet the GOP was like, "Yep, yep, yep, no, he's our best shot though. So don't worry, just ignore all the other allegations about. Let's just go straight ahead." O'Keefe tried to sting the Washington Post with a fake accuser to get them to run a story, but because they're journalists, like they just very quickly determined that this person was fake and then counter stung him and got him on video being like, you tried it and you didn't do it, so fuck off. And he's also banned from Twitter. Anyway, all that to say is This
I
is
think
his
he won
thing.
Them a Pulitzer, by the way, for that. he just made a bunch of people's career by being like so bad at this sting operation.
Yeah. And so then he got banned from Twitter because he's just a big misinformation spreader. And he had this track come out. I don't know if we covered it to the tune of Prince's Controversy, but it was Oligarchy. And I just want to refresh everyone's memory just briefly, because I want to remind people he is not talented and he shouldn't be doing anything. Oh, here we go.
Conservative group
promoting misinformation.
Times reported that the footage from Project Veritas was part of
according to Stanford research, coordinated disinformation.
Coordinated disinformation.
So this video is him, James O'Keefe, like wearing the lamest outfit. Like he's got like black jeans, black belt, black t-shirt on, and there's a lot of choreo.
Thing.
Yeah.
It looks very greaser.
Like everyone else is just in t-shirts, and then he's like Danny.
Yeah, Lee. It's Sandra Dee in the final part of Grease when she comes back edgy.
Yeah,
but if that was being performed by history's worst Dancing with the Stars contestant,
like 100%,
yeah,
he looks so uncomfortable and is just like you can see that he's consciously placing his hand with every movement. Like as somebody who's very self-conscious about my hands, I see a fellow person who doesn't know what to do with their hands.
Struggles with the this. Choreo a little bit.
It's important to note he has a boombox on his shoulder.
Yeah. And that's how you know this is something musical. And then there's like some, I just want to play a little bit of his dancing really quick. Oh. Okay. It's not good. It's cringe.
It's bad. Wait, so are they saying, because they are an organization that is funded by billionaires. Like, what does he think an oligarchy is?
Hey, come on. Whoa, Jack. Come on now. I didn't come. What am I, Young Turks, to debate you or something? Come on.
No, but I'm just so confused. What does he think the oligarchy is?
He's, you know how it's always, and with conservatives, it's selective, right? So. Yeah. You only acknowledge the oligarchy that is diametrically opposed to your belief system rather than the one that you are sort of being funded by.
Right.
Yeah, like he has upside down Twitter logos, so I imagine they're the oligarchy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Because they banned him.
Yeah, because they banned him.
Right. Okay.
So that's why he had to get mad about it.
Yeah, you might have missed that little bit of symbolism in the video.
Yeah, it was pretty subtle.
Yeah, because at first he was doing like a leg move that looked like what happens if I was sitting on the toilet for too long and my leg went to sleep and I had to stand up to get it going again.
Yeah.
But I guess that's dancing for him. But Robin Panakia at Wonkette sort of pointed out this new thing that he's into, because I hadn't seen it. This guy, Brian Clotus, posted a tweet, right, that says, "For a while, I thought I would never create again, but I kept going and refused to let the woke mob steal what I do best." We'll get to that in a second. "Create art. Now I'm officially back in the rehearsal room giving fellow canceled artists jobs and with James O'Keefe as my leading man nonetheless. It's thrilling." And he posted a little clip from their rehearsal from Oklahoma. And again, James O'Keefe he's putting it all on the line for this rehearsal. So here's a quick taste of James O'Keefe in some, I don't know, version of some fucked up production of Oklahoma. This is, the choreography is awful. We don't know what's happening. Okay, let me just spare everyone.
That was some sloppy community theater.
And he put that out. The guy who's putting the show on put that out. Like a leaked video. Like it has the vibe of like that Mitt Romney, like somebody snuck into one of his fundraisers to hear what he really thinks about poor people type shit. But this is the best they've looked.
I will. Wow. They did have the vocals, I will say.
Yeah, there's some ringers in there. I mean, the one guy who looked like the Proud Boy, who you're not sure why he joined the Proud Boys, but he clearly cut his hair to be one. Like, he looked like he was probably, he knows how to perform a bit.
Yeah.
Along with like the retired like truck driver guy. This cast is truly an ensemble cast.
Yes, of canceled artists.
Right. So to that point, right, Brian Clotus, like, who is this guy being like, oh, thank God I get to, you know, give canceled artists a platform. This man is first of all, he's a political candidate for the Florida House and also a disgraced theater director, which I feel like they sound like prerequisites for each other. Like, you can't run for Florida House unless you are a disgraced theater director, and you can't be a disgraced theater director unless you ran for the Florida state legislature at some point. But this guy, he has basically been, he was ousted from a theater company that he started because he just has this like abusive and hyper demanding directing style that everyone's just like, this is counterintuitive to actually making art. So I just want to point a couple things out. First of all, he did a sexy version of Pocahontas, which he said was much realer to like reality than like most people would believe. And one of the people who was performing there, I think who was playing Pocahontas, said, quote, reported that during rehearsals, she had several calls with Clotus, who told her that he wanted a, quote, happy version of Pocahontas' life, sent notes about making the title character, quote, sexier, and insisted on adding upbeat songs for a more Disney-esque version. Also, there were several OSHA violations that they saw occurring during this production. But when she expressed concerns, she said a production manager threatened her with violence in a production meeting.
Yeah. This dude was like getting a lot of positive press for like doing these like big stunts. Like, I think he did a play where, what's the one that has the helicopter? Is that Miss Saigon?
I think so.
Oh, yeah.
So he had a real helicopter land, and like they did a performance of a Titanic play where they actually like sunk a boat in a lake, which we're about to talk about. So like he was getting just like cheap stunts, you know,
but hey,
like
the sort of shit media
likes to.
You're going to say that about P.T. Anderson when Daniel Day-Lewis fell down that fucking mine shaft and There Will Be Blood and actually broke his leg, or Chris Nolan, who wants to do everything in camera. This guy's a fucking visionary. Okay, this is why in that Titanic musical, he demanded that people do a 40-foot jump into a 12-foot deep pit of stagnant water that he dug to have the effect of people like falling to their deaths during the sinking of the Titanic.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody remembers the dude pinging off of the propeller. Like that's
the only person we remember
right
from that film. That and the couple that was holding each other as the water was rising in their bed. Obviously a tragedy. But in their reports about this Titanic document or play, they said, quote, Clotus did not want to employ on-site EMTs, so the tech staff had to get some of the cast certified as lifeguards. But there was a snag here, too, Estes said. This is the person reporting on it. Clotus refused to let some of the people Estes suggested be certified as lifeguards because they did not fit the, quote, Baywatch body type that Clotus demanded.
Huh? I mean, Titanic, like that's the first thing you need when hot Baywatch bodies. That was
hot Baywatch bodies on the Titanic.
It gets fucking worse. So that fucking weird pool that people he was saying had to do 40-foot jumps in to injure themselves. They go on to say, quote, the run of Titanic led actor Robert Wayne to spend 9 days in the hospital. After spending some time in the bacteria-filled pond that housed the production, the actor's leg, already bitten by a mosquito, started to swell, and eventually his quadricep tendon burst. He was unable to work for 6 months.
That's the worst nightmare. That's like what you get a mosquito bite. That's like what everyone fears. Or is that that's my fear?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
that's my God.
That's why
I was afraid of lakes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Look at that. The water has to be moving. I remember the first time I went to like a camp where it was like, hey, we're going to the lake. I'm like, it looks all green in there. Like, is that safe? And then I watched all these like white kids like cannonball into it. I'm like,
you see the bugs like flying over it. Like stagnant water is gross.
Right. And it's like, make sure you shower off immediately or else you're going to get swimmer's itch all over. And I'm like, what?
Swimmer's itch.
Right? Yeah. I'm like, what is this?
I think you just made that up, but yeah.
That's what they called it up there in Michigan.
No, I'm saying the camp counselors just made that up.
Maybe. But I mean, yeah, it is my worst nightmare. I've learned to get into natural bodies of water since, but it is like the kind of thing where you you're in a fucking Titanic play, but your bug bite in the cesspit you were performing in leads your quadricep to burst? Like, what?
That's,
Quadricep to burst. Yeah. Not like, good.
I never even heard of that.
Yeah. I didn't think that that was possible. Now I get to live in this scary world where I know it's possible.
Right.
Right. Great. And now you're going to look like Paul in 90 Day Fiancé, who wears like a rubber suit to go into like the river because you think.
Just full mesh suits to go anywhere.
And I'll put a condom on because that stuff can swim up there. I read it in the Amazon River. It happens.
There's old fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all it takes.
That's all stuff that I'm horrified by. All right. Let's take another quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back, and, you know, the weekend and Monday, just horrifying scenes, reports coming out of Afghanistan that, you know, there's not a ton to say other than, you know, America should rightly be horribly embarrassed and held accountable for everything that's happening. I do wonder if this is, like, the degree to which this has failed, and the fact that it was sort of the, like, dubbed in the mainstream media as like the acceptable war on terror. And now it's like we're seeing how just absolutely fucked it's become. Like, I do wonder if this is going to actually, like, get into the zeitgeist and get into, like, people's opinions of, like, American military intervention. Because this shit.
Yeah, just our pattern of these little wars that drain resources and just completely unproductive militarism and occupation policies. I mean, yeah, like, it's funny, the already conservatives, like, have their own ideas when most people are like, no, it was a failure when we fucking started it. That was the fucking problem.
Yeah.
And no amount of whatever you think could have solved it was going to do that, because we're already going into a country and trying to force some, like, widespread ideological change to a place where people were, like, largely illiterate and had a system of, like, feudal warlords who are the ones, like, controlling certain regions. Be like, no, you get a central government and people are going to vote. They're going to fucking love it. Don't worry. We're America. Right. You guys taking that? Hold on. Here's money to... sorry if we blew up stuff, and here you can use this to keep to bribe people. Because the thing is, like, every step was completely fucked up, and now we have to look at more, like, the most horrifying shit, right, of people who are running towards planes because they see it that as their last fucking opportunity to avoid a certainly completely fucked up life under the rule of the Taliban, if not death, for in the instances of people that were assisting foreign nationals or whatever. Like, that's apparently a thing that a lot of Taliban people are now asking, like, well, who was helping? Like, who was helping foreigners?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, it's hard to think that this was going to end well at any point, but to see it now, like, at its full end point with just total collapse is just, heartbreaking.
I think it's been interesting to also kind of see people have this revisionist history over who was fighting against this from the beginning. Like, there's been all these articles saying, like, nobody was protesting against it, like, nobody did want, and it's like, that's not true. Like, all these people are like, what are you talking about? Yeah. Like, no, we were not okay with this. And, like, even as a kid, I remember there were people on Twitter who were sharing the, like, Disney propaganda videos, like, after 9/11. Remember, they, like, had all the Disney stars make videos that were like, going to war is like my Disney dream. Like, they literally had, like, Shia LaBeouf and Hillary Duff and all of these, like, Disney celebs, like, trying to convince children, whoa, like, war is dope. And even I remember as a kid being like, this is weird. Like, this is not okay. Like, why is Shia LaBeouf reading me a poem about how, like, it's good to send people to Afghanistan? Like,
right.
Yeah, like, I think it's just, like, one of those really intense examples of, like, when America came together in just every regard, like, propaganda machines for children, teenagers, everyone just, like, was like, we have to push this idea, and everyone it's was okay. Like, no,
yeah.
Like, yeah, and everyone was like, no, this is horrible, this is a bad idea, fuck.
I remember the Gulf War, and they made Ninja Turtle toys that were, like, after the armed forces, because I had, like, a Air Force Donatello shit in, like, desert camo and stuff. And I was like, what the? At the time, I was like, oh, cool. The Ninja Turtles come in armed forces?
Yeah.
Editions now? But I was like, cool, this is another Ninja Turtle toy, not realizing, oh, right, that's me playing with figures that are going to be echoed back to me on a television screen.
Yeah.
Where I'm getting a version where, like, my parents are like, man, that's fucking Bush doing all this shit. I'm like, what's going on? Anyway, I'll keep playing with my toy.
Here I was. I just thought I was enjoying the film Cadet Kelly. And instead indoctrinated with a love of the military.
Right. Yeah. And you're like, wow, now I have an irrational fear of anyone who's not a white Christian American. Huh, who'd have thought? And it's wild, too, to see people like Barbara Lee, who in Congress, she was, I believe, the only vote against the authorization for use of military force in Afghanistan. The only one to say no in 2001. And now she's out here like, I fucking told you at the time, and because she got fucking dragged for the shit that she said, because she was truly like, I don't see a military solution for what happened with 9/11. Going to occupy Afghanistan is not the solution to this larger picture we had. And to think that 20 years ago, it was one person, this one black woman was the only person who said, are you, what the fuck?
This, right.
No, but shit. And here we are now, like, asking these questions, like, what went wrong? Rather than broadening out to, this was so wrong from the beginning.
Right. And if you had taken every cent that was spent on military intervention and put that towards investing in infrastructure and just giving money to the people of Afghanistan to spend it as they think would best benefit their society. Like,
I mean, $2 trillion we spent.
Yeah.
You know, that's a ton. And all because we didn't bother to understand the nuances of another culture. And then just essentially just gave Hamid Karzai just said, yo, man, if you got to pay these people to figure it out, then do how much cash you need.
Yeah.
Right. You got to get. And then you wonder why it completely collapses when the U.S. leaves, because they weren't. It was all Band-Aid fixes on top of like a deep sucking wound that needed like something other than just sort of this idea of like neoliberalism and fucking democracy and this other shit.
You're not going to get like institutional, like deep cultural changes when you're pointing guns at the people and like don't actually respect them as people, which seems to be the way that.
And now we have to live with the shame of, you know, because, look, I didn't vote for the Iraq war or any of that shit or whatever. But I'm a conscious American person.
Yeah.
And to see the just fear and how dejected and just dead these people feel that they have no options is horrifying. And it just makes you again, most people who have some level of awareness about American foreign policy was never going to be like, I can't believe America did this.
Right.
Because most of history is like, yeah, I can believe America did that.
Yeah. Shit. America loves doing this shit.
Right. And now I'm looking at it and I'm like, but then you see this version, people are clinging to planes that are taking off. Like that's not even
the sky. Yeah.
That's not someone who has options, because that there's no way in your mind you go, okay, I can hold on to this plane up into the sky to wherever it goes down. But in that moment, that's your only option. It's just horrific. But yeah, I hope, Jack, that this maybe people will see it. But I don't know how much of that footage you're going to see on mainstream news. That, I mean, there are stuff where they show a lot of people going to the the airport in Kabul. But is there going to be the accompanying commentary from the media to say, like, rather than being like, well, you know, if George Bush did this and Obama did this and Trump did this better, then maybe this wouldn't happen. Rather than being like, nope. This is how failed U.S. foreign policy works time and again. It leaves a trail of bodies behind.
Yeah. There's a 27-year-old, the youngest and first female mayor in Afghanistan, Zarifa Ghaffari, who as recently as 3 weeks ago was like, you know, there are progressive people in Afghanistan and in Kabul. I feel like we might be able to like pull something off. And now she's like, oh, I'm just sitting here waiting for them to come. There's no one to help me or my family. I'm just sitting with them and my husband. They will come for people like me and kill me. I can't leave my family anyway. Where would I go? That's a direct quote. And then she couldn't talk anymore. And her dad was killed by the Taliban last year. The Taliban has made 3 attempts on her life. It's just like the U.S. military goes over there and it's almost like they're working with the Taliban to like reveal who's like not on board with the Taliban, and then they leave. Yeah. Like, all right, there's your rats.
Here's your targets. Like, here's all the people that you're gonna want to talk to after we leave.
Yeah, just yeah, you'd hope that, I mean, the U.S. would have a real concentrated effort to evacuate people, especially those that, you know, put themselves in harm's way to help this completely misinformed and fucked up military campaign. But no, just abandoning them. I don't know. I mean, if you didn't have enough reasons to feel ashamed of this place, then my God, watching people with no option left because the U.S. abandoned them is a good place to start.
All right. And finally, and what is obviously not the most important news story in the world right now, but perhaps is the most important Taco Bell based story. Taco Bell is.
How do we pivot?
I don't know, man. That's
what I'm going to do. Here's a new American shame. Taco Bell. Right. From our micromilitarism.
And if you're still not ashamed enough, Taco Bell. So there's been an overall shift in our fast food consuming habits toward drive-thrus during the pandemic. And, you know, this is after in 2019, there was an overall movement towards like trying to get rid of drive-thrus because they're ecologically bad. They're bad for the health, not only of the people consuming the fast food, but the people who live around there and work around there, because it's just a lot of idling cars. But now that consumer habits have temporarily changed, the fast food industry is just doubling down. And Taco Bell is at the forefront with this, what's being called Taco Bell Defy for some reason. But yeah, like I said, it looks like a car wash that's run by Daft Punk.
It looks like the old banks. Like when my mom would take me to do her errands and the old
banks with where the you pneumatic tube.
Yeah, with the tube and they send it. It looks just like that.
Right.
Yeah.
It feels like, yeah, what, you know, the future of just hyper consumption would be. It's like, and drive through your calorie dispensing booth and they'll just shoot a bunch of gorditas into your window.
Yeah. Who needs Taco Bell this quickly? I can't imagine any situation where I'm like, I need it so fast.
They're like, damn, I wish they had three more drive through lanes like, at this one.
Just like shoot it directly into my car in like this. This like proprietary vertical lift system they're using to like lower your food to you.
Are they trying to patent the dumbwaiter? Like that seems like they're trying.
I'm just kind of like, I don't feel like you've discovered anything new here, Taco Bell. Like,
right.
I mean, just to get more people. I mean, they're already facing a ton of shortages with supply things, but hey, defy all the expectations, I guess, with this.
Yeah.
Format. Why is it called defy? Like, is there even logic to around the word defy?
I mean, that's like the cliched thing that everybody in the world of capitalism, like they want to defy and disrupt and like
defying your ability to eat Taco Bell slowly. Like what?
Right. Right. Disrupt the relative peace people had before five lane drive-thrus. Yeah.
Like defying your ability to see the people who make your food as humans and just making you think,
or at all. Yeah. Oh my God. Did you know humans work at that Taco Bell?
Yeah. It's like you scan a QR code. You don't even order through a human now.
Right. Yeah. You order on the app, you drive up, scan a QR code and
like, I heard like really nice music plays. So you don't hear the screams coming from inside the restaurant. Yeah. It's a very pleasant experience. You just get your stuff, keep your eyes ahead, and keep moving.
And just keep, on the one hand, though, as someone who's like worked in a quick service restaurant, that is kind of the dream. Like, you never have to deal with an actual customer. On that side, I'm like, okay, I guess that, like, I would just be messing around with my friends in the robot Taco Bell kitchen.
Like, right. Exactly. And someone who's upset about a missing item, like, would just have to talk to a faceless window that just, like, is like, cannot compute your order. Now fuck off.
Yeah.
Somebody saying that on the other end of that.
With a voice changer.
Right.
Just so it sounds like a robot. Fuck out of here, man. I ain't get paid enough to fuck with this bullshit and get your tired ass busted car the fuck out of here before I come out there and smack the shit out you. It's like, oh.
It's pretty wild. Spicy. Like, so yeah. McDonald's, you know, drive-through visits grew by 26% in the spring of 2020, and drive-through orders accounted for 90% of their sales in the second quarter. Yikes. Like that's, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I live in LA, so I have a car. I drive everywhere, and I definitely wish every place had drive-through. Like I was never
every place
first. Yeah. I mean, the thing about me is that I never want bad food from drive-thru. I'm like, can like good restaurants have drive-thru?
right.
Well, funny you ask, because some of our finest dining institutions, Applebee's and Chipotle, are opening their own drive-thru options.
That one sounds dangerous, but I feel like anytime I go to Applebee's, it's because I want to drink a fishbowl of alcohol.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's weird because it's like, you kind of go to Applebee's for the experience. You want the ambiance at Applebee's.
You get to eat good in the neighborhood. Literally, you're driving around in the neighborhood.
In the neighborhood.
Eating and drinking.
Past.
Drinking a big gulp of booze.
That's wild. Chipotle, though, I feel like could go really slow. Like,
yeah.
I've seen how slow people are to build a burrito bowl sometimes. Like, Is that another QR code situation?
They better QR code that shit.
Yeah, that's like, otherwise, has to just be like, you set it all up ahead of time. Because people, I don't understand how since Chipotle opened, people are still like that baffled by their situation and process.
It's weird. One of my weaknesses is being behind somebody who's taking too long to order fast food. Like, I'll fucking turn into the Hulk. Like, I don't understand when people are there with like their hands on their hips looking at a menu board, like,
yeah.
Now, what do you like this? The chicken fries, are they good?
What's like, your favorite?
God, fucking, they don't give a fuck. I'm here because I want a self-hatred meal quickly, sir, please.
The last time I went to Chipotle, I was behind someone who was like detailed asking them to explain the difference between the burrito bowl and the salad, which if you know anything about Chipotle, they are the exact same thing.
Yeah.
The burrito bowl and the salad are the same. Except
more lettuce.
Yeah, the salad comes with dressing. That is the only difference. And she was literally like, no, 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 break this down one more time. What does the salad have in it? And it's like, look, you make it yourself. What are you doing?
You're seeing what I'm just putting shit in this bowl.
Yeah.
And then if I give you this other little dressing cup, that just recontextualizes it.
Yeah.
So that's what it is.
So then it's a salad suddenly. But if you take that dress, it's just the goddamn bowl. It's just the bowl.
They are trying to, like, so Burger King has this, like, big brother-like AI system called Deep Flame that pushes foods that are popular in the area that day or might be popular because of the weather. They, like, basically are just using algorithms to put all this data in and then tell you what it thinks you want. I don't know why I would care what Burger King thinks I want. I would just go there.
You get all self-conscious because it predicts your order and you're like, I would never get that. First of all, I don't think that fish sandwich is good at Burger King. I don't know why I did that.
McDonald's is acquiring an Israeli artificial intelligence firm called Dynamic Yield. Tim Hortons and Popeyes are also rolling out predictive personalized systems. So they're like going in a real Minority Report like direction.
Yes. Look, if Raytheon has to collab with Popeyes, so it'll speed up the people figuring out that they just want red beans and rice, the family size, and can keep it moving, then so be it. I'll embrace the
true. You know,
the defense contractors who inevitably get part of it.
Yeah. Like, if that's what we need to get people to realize, like, I want an iced coffee and I'm going to keep the Burger King line moving, like, okay.
When someone goes to a place that's known for one thing and then you get something that has nothing to do with the place, that's another really frustrating experience.
Just right.
Like, again, this is me raging out in my Mazda in a fast food drive-through line. So
right. Well, Ashley, it's been such a pleasure having you as always. Where can people find you and follow you?
Twitter at the Ashley Ray, the with two E's, Instagram at the Ashley Ray, or just listen to TV I Say with Ashley Ray, my podcast. The second season is coming back next week.
Nice.
Hey.
And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
I think a lot of people know I like post my weed spreads on Twitter, like my joint spreads in my case. And there was like one time I did it and all these people thought they were tampons for some reason, which I didn't. Like, people were like, are those? And I was like, no, they're joints, you idiots. And then there was like some girl who posted this like really beautiful picture of like decorative candles, like long, thin candles. And I've gotten tagged 80 times, people just being like, I thought these were your joints. I thought these were just tons of your joints. And so I love that I'm just so known as a stoner on Twitter that people just see like anything that looks like weed and they're like, oh, those must be Ashley's joints.
Yeah. Oh, those are joints?
That must be Ashley's like daily weed joint stash. And I'm just like, no, those are candles. Thank you.
These are decorative chopsticks.
Just a lineup of bowling pins. They're like, are those your joints?
Those are joints.
Dude, smoking 10 today? Okay. Wow. Well, I think, it's probably because the joint papers, those cones that you use are so colorful and not the standard, like, raw, you know, organic paper with the filter shits.
Yeah.
So everyone's, they're the most whimsical joints I've seen.
Yes, listeners, if you've never seen one of my joint spreads, it's a piece of art.
Yeah, it is.
Using natural veggie dyes to get beautiful papers. It's...
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah, okay. So, because people are always like, isn't this bad for your lungs? And it's like, no.
Okay, look, I'm already incinerating
I'm already
plant
like
matter and inhaling.
I'm already smoking like 10 joints a day. Okay, I think, you know, whatever damage is happening, it's happening.
Miles, where can people find you? What's the tweet you've been enjoying?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Also, the other pod, 420 Day Fiance, Weed and 90 Day, Sophie Alexander and I. And you can catch that on twitch.tv/420dayfiance to get those wonderful faded takes on reality. Some tweets that I like. First one is from the New York Times pitch bot. It's at Doug J. Balloon, but that's the name that they did just to take a little jab at the New York Times. And it said, "We wanted to understand what's happening in Afghanistan. So we talked to three unvaccinated Trump supporters at an Arby's in Harrisburg." That sounds about right. Yeah. And then another one from Olive McGowan tweeted, "If you have mommy and daddy issues, then it actually cancels out. You're good."
It's true. Scientific.
Yeah.
A tweet I've been enjoying is from Liz Hines at Anti-Capitalism, who tweeted, "Trying to conceal my not COVID cough like it's a zombie bite." I feel like that's how we all feel a little bit.
I do that with weed sometimes.
Yeah, I always had to be like, "That's my, it's weed. It's my weed."
Yeah. I'm like, I smoked a blunt and I had a bunch of wax in it. That's why I'm coughing this hard.
Yeah.
Please just let me buy this red onion.
I was like in this apartment building, and you know, like, you do the nice thing, you don't get in an elevator with people because you're like, oh, I don't want to crowd. And they insisted, they're like, "No, it's fine, get in the elevator with me." And like, the second I step on, I like got weed cough and like was just like, these people have to think I'm crazy. And I just had to be like, "No, it's weed, I promise."
Right. Nice. I feel like everyone has to say that.
Yeah. And they were like, "We can tell, girl, we can smell it. We can." Yeah. Yeah. You smell like a walking ounce. Like, yeah, we get it.
Well, you can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song are we going to send people to check out today?
Just a collaboration between some great Canadian musicians and a Japanese artist, the Jonah Yano and Bad Bad Not Good, together on this track called Goodbye Blue. Jonah's vocals are like really dope, kind of, you know, James Blakey sort of, you know, falsetto but haunting, but it's got a lot of emotion to it. And Bad Bad Not Good, I mean, as producers, as musicians, they're fucking undefeated. So just a great collaboration between the two. So check this one out. It's called Goodbye Blue.
All right. Go check that out. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find your favorite podcast. That's going to do it for us this morning, but we are back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com. Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.